Brothers and sisters, stay awake. Keep focused on the things of God. Do not let the world distract you. Prepare for the advent of the Lord. This message that we hear in today's gospel has to do with the second coming of Christ. When that book was written, the followers of Jesus thought that he would return soon. And so, how does this message apply to us? Why should we too stay awake? First of all, God visits us constantly in the experiences of our daily lives. And we can miss these visits if we get too focused on ourselves. Consider, for example, the many good things that God lets us experience. I'm thinking here of the beauty of nature, the presence of loved ones, the memory of good times with friends and family, the baptism of a baby girl. When we are absorbed in our work or thoughts, we can easily overlook these things. Remember that God wants us to recognize his presence in the world around us, and especially in one another. And the more we get caught up in our difficulties and commitments, the more we risk overlooking some particular kindness or message that God wants to share with us. This also includes experiences that we might otherwise consider difficult or undesirable. How often does a hard conversation, an inconvenience, or a perceived injustice turn out to be an opportunity for growth, for further turning our will and our lives over to the care of God? This is the advent of the Lord, God breaking into our world to offer to us his life-giving love. And so, awake from sleep, and stay awake, because you might miss God turning up in your life. But there is another reason to pay attention, which is that if we don't, we can get overwhelmed by the fascinations of the world. In the second reading, St. Paul offers an extreme vision of what this can look like. He writes, "Let us throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves properly as in the day, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in promiscuity and lust, not in rivalry and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the desires of the flesh." I think we can all agree that this sounds pretty out of control. But it doesn't mean that we are tempted by a life of complete debauchery. Still, every single one of us here, maybe with the exception of one, knows what it's like to get wrapped up in rivalries of various sorts, be that in the workplace, at school, in our families, and on the playing field, when friendship matters less than an ego victory at all costs. And the same goes for jealousies of various sorts, keeping for ourselves what we are meant to share with one another. And regardless of how religious we are, it still can be easy to go overboard with all kinds of luxuries. This includes drinking and eating, misuse of technology, money, and people, and even the kind of relaxation that is more about self-indulgence than self-care. These are the works of darkness that we would prefer no one see us doing, But even the ordinary round of daily responsibilities can crush us if we let them. Deadlines, meal preparation, committee meetings, and the list goes on. In the midst of this, the message is to turn to the Lord, who rescues us from what threatens to take us out. And so we are to stay awake, to receive the graces that God has for us, and to keep from losing ourselves in the world. But the third and maybe most important reason is that we are happiest when we are focused on the Lord, which doesn't mean that we are to spend all of our time on our knees saying prayers. It means that we are never to let God be too far from our thoughts, not because he will punish us, but because even mental contact with him does us good. I preached on this topic here a couple of months ago about how service makes us into the people that God created us to be. Made in his image and likeness, we can ask him how to live. Yes, this includes divine worship, such as we are doing right now. But it also involves spiritual conversations with friends and family. Really, it applies to any activity at all, insofar as we see in it an expression of God's love for us. Doing this brings us joy as we connect with the one who made us, who saved us, and who supports us. It is an act of total consciousness, recognizing that God is always visiting us with his love. Brothers and sisters, as we enter into the season of Advent, let us prepare to welcome the Lord once again. As Isaiah prophesies, let us climb the Lord's mountain to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may instruct us in his ways, and that we may walk in his paths.